From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Tuesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parham, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio this morning. We'll talk some football, headed into Ole Miss and Auburn Saturday, 11 a.m. for that one. Ole Miss's last game prior to a much-needed bye week. Some news coming out of the media opportunity yesterday. So we'll go through a good bit here today on the podcast, and I'm sure scattershoot a bunch of other topics that you may or may not be interested in, but no reason not to be interested in this. Head on over to the Oxford Exxon, Exxon Mobile Rewards. They've got a card. We've been telling you how much you save money with that. Use that card at the pump this week. You get entered into a chance to win 4 tickets to the Ole Miss Auburn game on Saturday, VIP passes, Ole Miss apparel, and much more. You don't have one of those cards yet? Sign up now and register at Exxon and Mobile Rewards Plus.com. ExxonandMobileRewardsPlus.com for that. Sign up. Chance to win many, many things this weekend, courtesy of Blue Sky and the Oxford Exxon. Again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are indeed. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi. 662-257-1900 is the number. Call the number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey Clark which new Ford you are looking for. It's that simple. Ask him for a quote. He'll send you one within 15 minutes in business hours. It's going to be right to the bottom line. It's not going to be any haggling. It's not going to be any hassle. It's not going to be your typical car buying experience. And then it's up to you. You can get it, and you can be skeptical and cynical. I'm skeptical and cynical. That's okay. Don't let anybody criticize you, and you can shop that thing around as long as you'd like. You're going to end up coming back to Clark Ford because it's right to the bottom line. It's the deal you want on the car you want or the truck you want. And not only do you get the vehicle that you're looking for, but you get great service. You get a relationship with the people at Clark Ford. They're fantastic. Corey wants to be your truck guy. He wants to be your car guy. He'll prove that to you. Tell him at the end of your deal that you heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can mention any of our family of podcasts, and you'll save $500 off the already great bottom line at Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900.
Jay Tate going to join us Thursday at Funky's Pizza and Alcohol Specials, as always. So come on out. Heckle Jay. Let's talk Cam Newton and much more Thursday. I'm kidding. But anyway, Jay joining us on Thursday. We'll have a PowerPoint presentation about Newton's recruitment ready to go for everybody in attendance. And you get a chance to win the $200 gift certificate from Blue Delta Jeans. It's kind of the perfect day for Blue Delta today. It's raining. It's got a real nip in the air finally. Fall feels kind of here today. And, you know, we've had them for a little while now, and they just feel better and better the more you break them in, the more you wear them. Because Neil can attest to this. I'm not usually a jeans person at all. I wear shorts. I wear khakis all the time. I'm becoming a jeans person now. I'm wearing jeans more and more because of Blue Delta, so give them a try. Also, Christmas coming up. If you get started now, have those bad boys plenty in hand prior to the holiday season.
I wore mine with a sport coat last night, and I've never really done that before.
Really been a thing for you?
Well, what I found out is I never really had the jeans that could pull it off before.
Yeah, you don't really need.
And when
like
I say jeans, in this case, I mean
fitting.
J-E-A-N-S, not G-E-N-E-S.
Well, that's probably relevant too.
I might never have the jeans necessary to pull it off, but I had the jeans necessary to pull it off, and it was good. It was okay.
It was okay. You felt all right about it?
Yeah, I mean, you know what's funny is because when you this is true though. When you have jeans that fit as well as these do,
it's almost like they were made for you.
Yeah. Well, the rest of your clothes aren't. You start realizing.
I did run into that about a month ago as I put a button down on and I went, oh my God, this thing's baggy. It doesn't fit.
It doesn't fit.
I can't wear it. I've got to do something else because of this.
Well, that's what I realized. I now really need to go get a sport coat bespoke.
Gotcha. Or just have yours taken in or whatever it is you need done.
Yeah, it's hard to find anybody. Yeah, we're not going to go down that road.
Another story altogether.
It's another story completely altogether.
I've never really looked at this. As much as you hate the term, you've got a book titled Cubs Nation. You hate the nation thing, and you got a book called Cubs Nation.
I do, but that's not to name drop, but Gene Wojciechowski is a longtime friend. I've known him for a long time, and he wrote the book. He spent the entire 2004 season.
I remember this.
With the Cubs. And he did.
This is the thing with like either the lead or something about the Vegas thing and the ticket or something.
Yeah.
That? Okay.
Yeah. And in that book, he spends. That was a season where the Cubs were supposed to win the World Series.
Year after Bartman.
By the way, the 15-year anniversary of Bartman was Sunday.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? 15 years. It's unreal, man. Anyway, I start thinking about that, and I think about how old my girls are getting. He spent that year the Cubs were supposed to win the World Series. They didn't. It was the year they traded for Nomar Garciaparra at the deadline. And it was the year that they blew the wild card in the last week of the season. Just disastrous. I'll never forget blowing. They blew a game against the Mets on a Saturday. I was at Jordan-Hare covering Auburn, and I just.
So it's kind of a John Feinstein thing. It just follows the calendar.
It follows him. But what he did instead of he took a one day he would focus on like a groundskeeper. And one day he would focus on a vendor. And he just started, one day he'd focus on Ryan Sandberg, you know. I mean, different people. It was a year in the Cubs. And it was really good. And it was just about, he would go find a fan in the stands or some fan story or something every day. It was really, really good work. And if you're a Cubs fan, it was good. I don't like the whole nation thing. I don't like.
Cubs Way is even more whatever to me than Cubs Nation. That sounds like a very Cardinals book. Cubs Way. It's the Cubs way, like.
Okay. Yeah, and that's Verducci's book after they won the World Series about how that team was built.
Okay.
And Theo Epstein is a way person.
A way person?
Yeah, they have a way. Do I subscribe to all that? If Theo tells me to, I do. But it can be a little over the top. Here's the truth about Cubdom. I'm kind of glad in hindsight that they've lost a little. I'm ready for some people to hop off the wagon. I've been on the wagon so long that my seat is pretty firm. But some of the people that jumped on the Cubs bandwagon over the last few years are the most obnoxious people on Twitter.
It's what I dealt with the Saints, except times whatever, because it's the Cubs and they have more of a national brand. So it's that plus whatever.
Yeah. And I have people go, everyone's
it's
welcome.
It's in the middle of Saints on the lower end and still not to the Red Sox level after all that
right,
crap.
Right, right. It's not like Yankees or something, but it's just obnoxious. I had to get off Twitter some in September because it had me a couple of times almost cheering against the Cubs.
Yeah, you've got some Michael Lewis books up there, Moneyball and The Blind Side.
I do.
And then
I have Stephen King's book where he and who's the other guy? Stuart Onan. They did the year that the Red Sox, actually it's 2004, the year the Red Sox won the World Series.
I haven't read that one.
Their emails back and forth the whole season.
Really?
It's good. Really great.
Huh. Yeah, really I didn't know great. That one. I might be interested in that one.
It's really good.
Okay. Anyway. Neil's literary correct. Literary.
What else you
want
to talk about? I got all sorts of stuff. Got lots of stuff.
ULM helmets.
Yeah.
Bobbleheads.
My Ed Oliver bobblehead's on its way.
Just never got a Drew Locke bobblehead.
Still hadn't happened. And I'm now a Heisman voter. I should get it. Didn't get it.
What bobbleheads are down there? In the two red hats, mainly.
Shohei Ohtani.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And Johnny Vandermeer.
We'll see that. What?
Yep.
Why?
I don't know. When we were in Cincinnati, we went to the Reds Museum, and they gave us bobbleheads. And then I got Ben Zobrist up there. I think that's it.
Okay.
Carson's got a bunch of bobbleheads.
Well, at first I looked down. I was like, surely he's not got like Cardinals bobbleheads over on the shelf.
Oh, God,
there.
No.
I was a little confused.
No. But I got Dale Murphy ball, Yogi Berra, Tony Perez. I got some stuff, man.
Got some stuff.
Yeah.
No Jock Jones jersey out on display anywhere.
I got to get a way to get the damn thing signed.
Just send it to him. What's he doing these days?
Yeah, I think he'd sign it and send it back.
I mean,
that was a fun story, man.
You can't be getting many of these, right?
No, I wouldn't think. That was a fun story. That was a funny day. That was the best jersey story I've got.
43 years old now. Hadn't played since 08.
Yeah, he's out of the game. Is he coaching still?
I'm looking. Let's see. During the 17 postseason, he was suspended in the NL Division Series last October for an investigation into an unspecified legal matter. No idea what that is or is not, but yes, he was doing that. He was hired by the Washington Nationals as the assistant hitting coach before that time. So, anyway.
Gotcha.
That's the way we bury leads here on the Oxford Exxon podcast, 11 minutes in. News coming out of yesterday, DK Metcalf's neck injury worse than anticipated. He is out for the remainder of the year, and everybody mentioned multiple times, Neil, that he should be fine. It shouldn't be a long-term element for him. I don't know how it affects his draft status either way. But and now some of this is just today's world of being careful with laws and rules and regulations. I thought they were very careful to give very few specifics and never really even told us what in the world was going on yesterday.
Yeah, we pressed a little, and we got the, well, it's...
He ended up saying vertebra.
Vertebra-related.
That
herniated disc is my guess?
Yeah, I don't know. It was weird. There was something there that did not want to be public.
Well, HIPAA laws prevent him from going into details unless DK authorizes it.
I mean, when it's an ACL, we don't hear knee. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, there's specifics.
There was something, when I say... fishy. I don't mean fishy. I just mean different about it. Look, the NFL's going to find out.
Well, yeah, they already know.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I don't know. We'll see. I've had a lot of people, I'm sure, I can't imagine how many people have asked you, if they've asked me what he'll do. Two things. One, this whole why is he on special teams thing, stop, man. Starters play on special teams everywhere in the country. Special teams count. The fact that he got hurt on special teams is not an indictment on Matt Luke. Stop. That is dumb. Starters play on special teams at Alabama, at Ohio State, at Florida. Starters play on special teams. I've had people ask me, do you think he goes pro now? Do you think this means he stays? I don't have any idea what's the injury.
The expected timetable per Matt Luke yesterday was 3 to 5 months.
So we're in October, so 3 months is January, 5 months is March.
March gets tricky.
March gets real tricky for him.
And now, is that 5 months contact? Is that 5 months? You know, what does that mean? That's so vague. I don't even know how to really describe it at this point.
If it's 3 months before he can train, then, you know, I don't know. 3 months before he can train? Can he get in tip-top shape for the combine? And was that late February?
Yeah, something like that.
You know, it's kind of probably iffy. Do you risk coming back and playing more college football with – I don't know. I don't have any idea. It's just total speculation at this point. It's a story that I'm sure we'll all kind of start working on. First thing is that he's a really good kid, and you hope for his sake that he has a complete recovery. Matt said that there's no reason to believe that he wouldn't, and that he has an opportunity to do whatever it is that he wants to do, whether that's come back for another season or whether that's to go pro.
DK Metcalf has played – I had it a second ago. Hold on. He has played 33 special team snaps this season so far. That is far fewer than Greg Little, Alex Givens, Ben Brown, Jordan Sims, Miles Hartsfield, Jalen Julius, Vernon Dasher, Sanogo. Sanogo's played 65 special team snaps. Zedrick Woods has played 76, and that cat never comes off the field. He plays every snap. He's just it's
yeah, the people that did that yesterday, I get it, you're emotional, but
Armani
stop.
Linton's played 134 special team snaps.
Yeah,
before.
Just it's silly. Stop.
Markell Winner's out about a month, I think.
Frankly, I'm surprised that wasn't longer.
Yeah.
The way that he was grabbing the knee.
Mm-hmm. I think they called it a sprain yesterday.
You know, so it's middle about. We're talking about he might get back for the last game or two, probably, what we're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really depleted
That's a big injury because when you look at it, Matt kind of just said, oh, the guys are the guys. And then McGriff started talking about Brandon Williams. And, I mean, no offense to Brandon Williams, but he hasn't really played. I mean, and you – Winters had come on and made some plays the last couple of weeks, and now all of a sudden you're replacing him with Brandon Williams. That's a loss. I mean, that's a problem for Ole Miss. So, we'll see. I mean – injury-wise, a team that needed to get lucky this season has been anything but. For the year, they've lost Jalen Jones, Montrell Custis, C.J. Moore, and now Metcalf, and then Josh Clark, Markell Winters, Ken Webster, C.J. Miller, Victor Evans, and Floyd Allen for multiple games or an extended period of time. It's a big list.
It is a long list. It's a physical game. I saw where Arkansas came out of that Ole Miss game pretty poorly from an injury standpoint.
Did they really?
Yeah, you got to get off that damn turf.
That caused a lot of it.
I mean, I'm not staying on this because we have other things to get to. I get appeasing a fan base, appeasing a large.
See, it's not even appeasing. It's a fight. It's literally a battle right now between Little Rock and Fayetteville for multiple factors having to do with the University of Arkansas.
And I get it, but as someone who's been to Fayetteville a lot lately, Fayetteville's nicer than Little Rock. The stadium is 1,000 times nicer than Little Rock. Play the damn games in Fayetteville. Get off that turf. Or if you're going to play, tell the people in Little Rock, you either got to put grass in that deal or you're going to have to put better turf in. I mean, they lost kids. Their tailback went down because of – it wasn't a bad hit. And it wasn't a hit he would have normally – the deal was, what I'm told, is that the turf was so hard that it created an issue. When Woods drove him into the turf. If Woods drives him into the grass, it probably just knocks the breath out of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks – I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the company is that makes it. It looks like AstroTurf.
It looks like that old stuff that was in the Astrodome.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Which was concrete.
Well, yeah, I mean, you've seen baseball games back then. They just hit the ball off the ground and it bounces into the outfield because it's concrete.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's we're playing wiffle ball at some point.
I mean, they've already outdated the stuff that Ole Miss had on their turf until the last few years. That stuff's outdated at
the
dinosaur.
With the ground-up rubber and the tires.
Yeah,
stuff.
I mean, they've come up with, like, I don't know if you read it in 10 Thoughts. It was one of the things I linked. The Diamondbacks have finally given up on growing grass in 120-degree weather with the roof. It just imagine that doesn't work. And so they're putting in this brand-new state-of-the-art turf that is
new and
yeah,
whatever.
You know, it's the newest, bestest thing that's not grass.
Turf got obsolete really fast. If you're in the turf company, your business is going all right if you can stay updated. I mean, because it's every 18 months they come out with some newfangled, softer, more realistic turf.
Well, you're trying to recreate grass, and that's hard.
And even beyond grass, it's the cushion, it's the soil, it's the yeah.
Oh yeah, it's not just the grass; it's the ground. You're trying to recreate the planet, which has lots of layers. You see.
Some people do their whole yard of that stuff, you know, in some places, like Arizona.
Yeah, because you can't grow grass too damn hot.
Just put turf down.
Yeah. Can you imagine how hot that turf is?
Dude.
In your front yard? I bet it's 140 degrees. It melts your shoes.
Well, because we'll go down on some days when they had the turf, and I mean, it would hurt through the shoes.
It would. It was so hot.
You could feel it
through the shoes. This is so stupid.
Well, even now, it's still on the practice field in spots.
Yeah.
And you can be standing on that turf, back up 10 feet, and you're 20 degrees cooler.
Yeah.
Just backing up.
The way the heat radiates.
Yeah,
off.
It's terrible at baseball because you'll be in the dugout where you're shaded, and you'll walk directly out in front of the dugout, and it's turf. And you'll go, oh, my God. And you look down, it's just because you're on the turf.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
So, anyway, today's lesson. it's kind of a segue, though.
All right.
We talked about injuries. And I did snap counts this morning. Looked for the entire season, what percentage of snaps on that side of the ball a particular player has played. Kind of tried to find any interesting thing as far as number of snaps related to some other players. And we mentioned Zedrick Woods a second ago. He's played how many ever special team snaps? Pretty much every one of them. A guy that got here to begin his career is kind of the butt of a Laramie Tunsil joke, frankly. Has turned himself into a very adequate, a solid SEC defensive back. And for Ole Miss right now, his snap count numbers are uncanny compared to everybody else and all the injuries that's going on, the fact that he has had to just stay on the field. He has played 511 defensive snaps so far this season. That's 87.3% of the defensive snaps on the field for Ole Miss. Next up, Muhammad Sanogo at 399, which is 68%. He's played 20% more snaps than anyone else on the field. I mean, it's from an invaluable standpoint, Zedrick Woods for the last couple of years, frankly, has been way up the list if you look at defense or you basically take out anybody other than the quarterback for this group. So it fascinated me, and I knew he played a lot, but when you put it on paper, it's phenomenal that he's been able to stay healthy and stay somewhat productive, playing 87.3% of their defensive snaps. And that's a defense that, look, they're facing over 80 snaps a game. I mean, 511 snaps is a lot of snaps no matter how many weeks we're talking about.
Oh, for sure. It's the end of the season, man. There's some MVPs, and some of the people that are the MVPs are just the people that were a body.
Survived and out there. And
yeah.
Sanogo playing middle linebacker or whatever he's playing at 399, 68%. Benito Jones playing nose tackle, 61% of the snaps.
Those are two prime candidates. I cannot imagine this team without Momo Sanogo. I mean, when you talk about irreplaceable players, you cannot have the conversation and not mention his name.
Look,
I don't know who the hell would play if he
hasn't
didn't.
Been fantastic, but he gets him in the right place. He does okay, and the fall off beyond him would be immeasurable.
Well, to simulate it, go to about a 30-story building and just roll a pebble off of it and watch it fall. That's what it would be. Let me give some credit to somebody. I wanted to do this Monday, and I forgot.
You gave credit Monday to people. You said apologies and stuff.
Yeah, well, I left one off.
Go ahead.
And I don't know whether the credit goes to John Summerall or whether it goes to Willie Hibbler. But Willie Hibbler played a significantly improved football game against Arkansas. Especially in the second half. Especially on that last play where he makes the tackle that forces the punt. Pretty good play call by Arkansas. There was no reason for Arkansas to believe that Ole Miss would communicate the switches necessary to stop that. And that's a first down if Willie Hibbler's not there.
Yeah, McGriff said yesterday he had to recognize – Zedrick Woods recognized formation, was able to relay it, and then Hibbler made the correct switches and the correct play.
And then executed the play. There's no – if you're Arkansas, probably a hard thing to live with today, but if you're Arkansas, that's a hell of a play call. You need – what was it, third and three? Third and four, you needed a little bit, and you dial up a play that
typically Ole Miss has screwed up all year.
Yeah, they hadn't defended it all season. It was a good play. Receiver got there. If Hibbler's not there, it's 6-7 yard gain. It's a first down, and you're going to eat Ole Miss's timeouts now.
Yeah,
might not have mattered the way that offense was clicking, but you were going to put Ole Miss.
We had a chance to put it away.
You were going to put Ole Miss behind the eight ball.
Yeah,
you were going to make yourself one first down away from ball game.
Yeah.
And Hibbler defended it, and defended it well. Credit where credit's due.
Look at freshman a little bit. Keydron Smith's played 38% of the plays this season.
Surprised it's not more than that.
Well, it is over the last few weeks.
Yeah.
Early on, he wasn't. Just kind of a sneaky one out of the blue.
He's had to play a lot.
Hibbler played 47% of the snaps this season.
He's had to play a lot.
Coatney only at 43. Given what Benito has, that differential would shock me had you told me before the season.
Yeah, he hasn't had the season that
no.
I think a lot of people thought that he might.
No, it's just been okay. Tisdale's done a lot of good work on 28% of the snaps so far this season.
He's got a chance to make a real jump next year because he'll be in much better shape.
He is. Then you look at injuries. I mean, C.J. Miller's been out. He's done a lot. I mean, you know, speaking of Hibbler playing well has decreased the reps for Kevontae Ruggs, and then some of that is just Ruggs not – he's a great athlete. He should be redshirting. Mentally, he's still swimming still. He's having a hard time with any type of discipline as far as gaps and different things and assignments. He's got a bright future, but right now Hibbler just gives you more because he knows where to be most of the time.
I could – accurately say what this is all about, but to do it I'd have to take shots at other people, and I don't feel like doing that right now.
Yeah,
but there's a handful of people that have been frankly victims of a hype machine. Ruggs is fine. Ruggs needs an offseason. He needs to get bigger. He needs to get stronger. And he's got to learn how to play the position. Yeah, he looks great out there running around in shorts and stuff. He does. He looked really good in August. And people inside the program said, man, this kid's going to be a really good player. That doesn't mean this kid's going to be a really good player today.
Ole Miss is going to hold on to the red shirt for Jonathan Hess, but in very, very limited snaps. He's looked pretty good and kind of I think he can definitely fill a role. As he moves
I do
forward.
Too. I think he's got a real chance.
Yeah, he's only played in a couple games. They're going to hold on, not screw it up. But
well, he's that kid that is worth so much more in 2022 than he's worth the last 5 weeks of this season.
Yeah, in all factors that would mean.
Just
everything
in every possible way.
A.J. Brown's played 50 more snaps than DeMarcus Lodge this season.
Yeah, A.J. Brown's going to play in Sundays for a while. So is DeMarcus, for what that's worth.
Isaiah Woolard's done pretty good work on 18% of the snaps, only been in one out of five plays or so, but done some good things.
Yeah.
He has adjusted to the speed of this game better than I thought he would, and he plays hard. That son of a gun. He's a better pass blocker than Phillips.
Yes.
He will get his nose up in there from a pass blocking standpoint. I mean, he impressed me so much on Tomu's draw on the series that I detailed on Sunday afternoon. When Tomu is kind of getting loose and just getting beyond the line of scrimmage, Woolard steps up and knocks out a linebacker on that play that really freed it up. Because then after that, Tomu was allowed to just kind of run around Cameron Curl. But prior to that, Woolard stepped up and got the middle of the field block on the linebacker that kind of sprung that thing open. He is a tough blocker. I've been pretty impressed with that part of his game.
I don't know the Pro Football Focus numbers, but it's the one thing in Scotty's game that he's got to improve is pass blocking. He's really good at everything else. His pass blocking, just to the naked eye, is
it doesn't look good.
It doesn't look effective.
Yeah, I mean, on a team full of a lot of really good pass blockers, I mean, yeah, he's well behind Woolard in pass blocking on Pro Football Focus.
Which isn't surprising for a JUCO transfer. It's not a big part of what they do at the JUCO level.
For the most part, everybody blocks pretty well pass blocking-wise. That's why they're the number one pass blocking team in the nation. Cooley is really bad at it. He's probably the only one that's a liability as far as a pass blocker. And that's not his game.
No,
that's
Knox is very good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Knox has done a nice job.
Yeah. So Little's phenomenal at it.
Well, that's why he's going to make a lot of money one day.
If Greg ever becomes a dominant run blocker, he's a superstar.
Yeah, because he struggles at times run blocking.
Yeah. If he ever gets that down, he's a superstar.
How much does that affect his draft stock, though?
It impacts it because some of the teams who are certain ways might not be as interested in him. But he's – come on, man. If you can protect in that league, as important as it is to protect your quarterback, they'll figure the rest of it out.
Javon Patterson, 92.9% of offensive snaps this season. 92.9.
When it's all said and done, he's a guy that
– not getting his due.
He's not getting his due, and he's – you talk about a guy that's given you everything. He's earned his scholarship and then some.
Sean Rawlings, 88.6. Greg
Ditto.
Little, 84.7. Alex Givens, 82.5. And then as a true freshman, Ben Brown, 75.6.
We haven't talked about it. But the one question mark going in the next season is going to be offensive line. Because, man, they are replacing not only really good players, but some guys who have been there for a long time.
Experience.
Guys who have just shown up day after day after day. You can pick apart Greg's game, and you can pick apart Sean's game, and you can pick apart Javon, whether he's as athletic as people thought he was going to be, and Alex Givens, you can pick apart whether he can stay healthy enough to play in the next level and all of that stuff. But those guys, man, for at least 3 years, and in Sean and Javon's case, four, have absolutely answered the bell every time the damn thing rang.
I mean, Alex and Ben are the only offensive linemen returning that have played at least 25% of the snaps this season.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, Royce Newman's played a little bit. Bryce Matthews has played a very little bit. That's about it.
It's going to be a real challenge. Jack McNeil will have his work cut out for him.
He's done a heck of a job this year.
Yeah, he's been phenomenal.
I mean, critically, dude, that's a hire that if that thing goes south when Matt first makes it, this thing looks totally different.
Sure.
I mean, it's been a It's been a necessary godsend for Ole Miss to this point.
I like watching McNeil's. He kind of has a bedside manner that's interesting. Calm.
A bedside manner?
Well, the way he coaches. You know what I mean? Just he's not that – yes, sometimes you'll get these line coaches that they're just out there yelling and screaming and throwing stuff.
No, he's teaching. He's
and
slowing
hitting
it down.
Things
let's,
and
let's look at it.
Cussing and acting like an idiot. And I don't know. I've always thought that
look like a coach, not a strength coach.
That's, yeah. Yeah.
No offense to strength coaches.
Yeah. There's no point with – guys like Javon Patterson and Sean Rawlings.
Don't be a Scott Cochran clone.
Right.
Where you're,
I mean, can you imagine Sean Rawlings would look at a guy and thought, like, come on.
Yeah. What am I doing wrong?
Let's just work on it. Let's coach. Yeah. Coach me. And he does that. And Greg's kind of laid back that way, too. You know, he's not – Greg's not, you know, he's not throwing stuff against the wall before the game, I don't think. So it's work with guys. It's fun to watch Bicknell work.
Yeah. Continue our conversation in a second. First, podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. Underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting and understands your market. A leader in condo financing and the float down option. 662-234-2704 or JLO, JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
This podcast is also brought to you by Megan Phillips with LAH Real Estate. She's the person to call for all your real estate needs in the Birmingham area. With almost a decade of experience, Megan's knowledge and expertise can help you buy or sell your home today. So visit her website, MeganMPhillips.com. It's MEAGANMPhillips.com or call Megan at 205-602-7929. Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with a live person. There's no 10 buttons, no 5-minute wait. OUB is offering its customers 1.75% annual percentage yield, 3-year triple option CDs paying 2.01% annual percentage yield. With that 3-year term, customers can deposit once during the term, withdraw once during the term, and or bump the rate if OUB's 3-year rate rises. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. Podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry's an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than 4 decades. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than Harry. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. It's harryalexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab. Filter through by what you're looking for, and then send him an email. It's ha@harryalexander.com. And we're brought to you by Grenada Nissan. Grenada Nissan located just off Interstate 55. In Grenada, Mississippi, Grenada Nissan has a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissans, great lease deals. The service is fantastic. I've been doing business with Grenada Nissan for more than 10 years. You can take my word for it. You will not regret it. You'll get great products, great service. The people are fantastic. Gene and Sandy have been with us for a long time. If you're in the market for a Nissan, you owe it to yourself to at least give them a look. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. And we're brought to you by John Edwards of Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. Maybe you've been thinking about a golf trip with the guys. Maybe you've been thinking about an anniversary trip you got coming up. Maybe you've thought about playing at St. Andrews or taking that trip to Paris. Whatever it may be, get in touch with John before you try to do it yourself. He's a part of Virtuoso. It's a worldwide network of travel partners that allows John to supply his clients with added values and unique benefits that are simply not available to other travelers. Here's the thing. We talked about this yesterday. I'm kind of getting off the script here so I can explain how this works. You're thinking about a trip. You don't really know what trip you're going to take. Maybe you've got an anniversary trip coming up. Maybe you're getting the kids together for a trip and you want to do something special. Maybe you're going with the fellas and y'all are going to get away and you're going to go golf or you're going to go on a baseball trip or something. Maybe you just don't know specifically what you want to do. Call John, 901-494-3387. Tell him. Got about 5 days to work with, 4 days, 6 days, 8 days, whatever it may be. We've got X amount of dollars to work with. This is kind of what we want to do. Then let him go to work. He'll come back with a list of options for you to choose from. He's going to do all the work for you. 901-494-3387. And not only will he do the work, he's going to be able to supply you with some other stuff that you will not be able to find yourself because you're not a part of Virtuoso. So Jay Edwards at Regency Travel Net. First-time clients can save $50 off their first book trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast.
So, Weston McGriff, Phil Longo yesterday as well. For the most part, those were pretty on script yesterday. I didn't really pick up a lot there that surprised me. I didn't think there was a lot of nuance or any hidden shots or anything. It felt like yesterday was pretty standard from those two.
So much of the Monday press conference lately has become a Saturday revisit.
With a lot of times the exact same questions that were asked Saturday night. Literally, same questions. I mean, Longo was asked every Monday at least five or six questions that were also asked on Saturday once the game was over. I mean, literally.
I don't get it. But, okay.
It's fine, whatever.
I have people say, well, you could ask questions, and you're right, I could. I just, for whatever reason, the Monday press conference for me is becoming less and less usable.
Longo had a couple chances to take some kind of some victory laps yesterday. Fans very excited with play calling, tight end involvement, and pretty much as he's done every year, and I mean every week, and I mean give him credit for honesty, he said, no, it's just kind of what they took away. We didn't really have put an emphasis on anything.
His answer was very good. He said Arkansas concentrated on taking away the deep ball.
So we threw underneath.
And so instead of forcing the deep ball, they threw underneath.
They were worried about the wide receivers, so they threw the tight ends.
Yeah.
I mean.
I like Phil Longo, man. Dude's honest.
He is.
Because I can't stand the football coach. Well, I'll tell you what we did. We went to the board and we brought out the calculus. We really did. What we did was we put together. Stop. You go to the line of scrimmage, you figure out what they're taking away from you.
It's a really physical game of checkers or chess. They put their people out there, you put your people out there, and you try to go where they're not.
Arkansas was trying to bait Ole Miss into throwing the deep ball.
Yeah.
Because they were going to bring people over and they were going to take it away. So many people, well, was it because DK went out? No, it's because they took it away. See, they have a coach too. It's what you can almost feel him wanting to say to a couple of the different people.
The other side is trying.
See, I don't know if you recognize that we have a coaching staff and we practiced all week. And they have one too. That's the funny thing. They practice also. We have a plan. They have a plan. And their plan was, hey, we watched on film. If you're Arkansas, right? You watched on film, you're like, man, look at that deep play. They did that again. There it is again. Oh, wow, they did it again. I got a thought. Let's not let them do that to us. And give them credit. They really didn't. They did not let
Arkansas's mood going in was, hey, they hit the big one. Let's make them, as Phil said, credit to his guys, let's make them be consistent for 10 plays, 12 plays. Let's try to get them in some third and sixes and see if they complete those passes.
Because what did Arkansas think? Arkansas thought, okay, we can score on these guys. We're going to be able to run the football on these guys. They did. They clearly thought they could run the football on Ole Miss, and they did. And they thought Story was going to be effective in the mid-range game, and for the most part, he was. They had 10 explosive plays in the first half.
10.
They thought they would be able to move the football and score points. And so what did they want to do against Ole Miss? Hey, let's not let them score fast. They haven't driven the ball all year. Let's see if they can do it. When you think about it, even though the plan didn't work, it was a good plan. It's a good plan. It's a plan that made sense. Let's not let them throw that damn 60-yard pass that's killing everybody. And they didn't. They took it away. But you can't take everything away unless you're Alabama. Then you can just do whatever the hell you want to do. But you can't take everything away. And so they said, let's make them beat us with the tight end. He hasn't been effective all season. And Ole Miss beat him with two tight ends. Let's make their running backs pass protect. Early in the game, it didn't work. Later in the game, Ole Miss ran the quarterback. Let's make them beat us in ways that they haven't beaten other people. If you're Arkansas, frankly, outside of a couple of things, I think you look at the film and you go, you know what? Our plan was good. When we get better players, that'll work better.
They're a bad football team.
Yeah, they're really bad. It's I got to shut up because it's just some of the stuff. I'm going to defend Wesley McGriff for a minute. I hadn't done that all year. I've been critical. I'm on record as saying I think Matt's got to make a change at the end of the season. Some of the – well, can you not make adjustments in the first half? How do you know they're not? How do you know they're not making adjustments in the first half? What do you – you're not at the game. Or if you are, you're sitting up in the stands drunk. How do you know what they're doing? It's an emotional question. Ole Miss is not going to be significantly better on defense until it gets more players. Bottom line, do I think Wesley McGriff is the best defensive coordinator? I do not. Do I think he's a little out of his league at times? I do. Do I also think he's hamstrung? I think it can be an and thing. Do I think he's hamstrung to some degree? I do. We just got through talking about Momo Sanogu. If he were to get hurt or to wake up this morning and go, you know what, I don't want to play football anymore. I just don't. I want to go run. They don't have another linebacker. You don't get to just plug people in. They're not Ohio State. He's having to go with some really inexperienced defensive backs. If you had told McGriff before the season, hey, Kedron Smith, man, week 7 or 8, whatever we're in right now, when you play Auburn, he's going to have to play like 70% of the snaps. He probably would have thrown up. Hey, Willie Hibbler, man, is going to have to play 60-something percent of the snaps.
He's your second-best linebacker.
Yeah, Willie Hibbler is going to be your second-best linebacker. You're going to have to play Dante Evans significant snaps. Benito Jones is going to have to play 2/3 of the game. 2/3. And you're going to be out there 90 snaps a game. He would have probably, truth serum, said we're in trouble.
It was like he was asked about the Ryder Anderson thing. And the answer was essentially a safety screwed up. Ryder kind of screwed up, and then, but even though they had numbers getting to the quarterback, no one got to the quarterback. So, well, yes, Ryder looked really bad on that play. That was a very multifaceted breakdown for what to happen to happen.
Now, you still can't allow Ryder Anderson to get in one-on-one coverage. There's no reason to believe that he's capable of doing much better than that.
With any skilled player. I mean, it just is what it is.
Now, he defended the player, and that's what you want him to do and stuff like that. Here's my problem as we start to transition a little bit towards the game Saturday. To beat Auburn, and I've watched Auburn a good bit this year, to beat Auburn you've got to pressure Stidham. He's awful under pressure. I'm sure you can pull up Pro Football Focus numbers or whatever. He's awful under pressure. He just makes throws under pressure that you shake your head at and go, oh, my God. Which Palmer is it that does the TV? Is it Jordan?
Yeah, he does it.
He had a really good stat. Let me see if I can find it.
Oh, I saw that.
Did you see this?
Yeah. About how they're very, very predictable.
Yeah, I'm looking. I know this is terrible podcasting, but we opened up by talking about the Cubs, so what difference does it make?
It wasn't even current Cubs. It was past Cubs.
It was past Cubs. We talked about a Cubs team from
Jared Stidham, by the way. I'll probably put all this somewhere in a content item later. His Pro Football Focus grade under pressure this season, goes 0 to 100, is 29.3. Not good, Captain. As opposed, though, as most quarterbacks that are even decent at all, when he's not under pressure, 78.1. Pretty good.
Not Jordan Palmer. It's Jordan Rogers.
Yeah, it's Rogers. It's Aaron's brother. Not Jesse Palmer.
Yeah. Here it is. Jarrett Stidham has 6 total completions this year inside the numbers from 8 to 44 yards past the line of scrimmage. not only do they tip run or pass based on personnel, but they don't even attempt to use the middle of the field, the scheme has to change. He says Auburn is predictable on offense on personnel. Versus Tennessee, when a tight end or fullback, predominantly Chandler Cox, is on the field versus off the field. On it, they run a rush or a screen 74% of the time. Off it, they run a pass 91% of the time. Even omitting the last two drives against Tennessee when Auburn was down big and had to throw, they passed 85% of the time with no tight end or fullback on the field.
Self-scouting-wise, that's a disaster.
If you're Auburn, maybe you go, wait a minute, we're paying you $49 million and you guys can't self-scout?
Jared Stidham on passes 20 yards down the field or farther, air yards.
Yeah.
To the left, 2 of 9, between the numbers 3 of 14, and outside right, 3 of 9. Awful.
He's been awful. Their offensive line has been
terrible.
A train wreck. If you've watched the New York Giants, you've watched Auburn. Stidham is not super mobile. Last year they were good up front. He had time and he picked people apart. This year they've been bad up front. He hasn't had time and his decision making under pressure has been abysmal. My question for this game, if you told me, hey, you can know one thing, what does Ole Miss's pass rush look like?
Mm-hmm. Got to get to him. You got to do it with four or five.
Yeah. And when they do bring blitz, does it work? Can they get to him? Not sack him necessarily. Can you force him into bad decisions? Because he'll throw the damn ball away. He had two or three plays against Tennessee that were just awful quarterback plays. Meanwhile, the kid for Tennessee played a really smart game.
I was looking for the exact number. Under pressure, Stidham is 19 of 47 with pressure. But here's the other key. He's had 72 dropbacks. 25 times, he hasn't even gotten the ball off. Or he just flings it.
Yeah.
Nothing.
No, they're bad up front. And Ole Miss, what's Ole Miss in terms of pass rush? I don't even know where they are in terms of rushing the passer. My guess would be not high in the league.
Yeah, I think they're just okay.
Yeah.
Kind of middle of the road.
I think there's your ball game. Ole Miss is going to get points against Auburn. They're balanced. They're going to score points. No one's lighting Auburn up defensively. I mean, they're good. They have players all over the field. It's can you get to Stidham? Can you make him make mistakes? If you can, Ole Miss has a chance, a real chance Saturday. If they can't, it's going to be difficult. Although Auburn doesn't run the ball the way Auburn typically runs the ball. For the last 20-something years, Auburn has always had some stud tailback back there, whether it was Rudy Johnson or Carnell Williams or Ronnie Brown or Trey Mason or whoever, whatever the case may be. They don't have that guy this year. They don't have that bell cow or two bell cows back there just pounding it between the tackles. They don't have that. They've had to get cute. And that offense is, as Jordan Rodgers just showed, pretty predictable.
Ole Miss is 74th nationally in pass rush.
Yeah, like you said, kind of average.
Yeah, pretty average. I mean, there's 129, 130 teams.
They've got to have a big day in that regard. And Auburn's awful in pass protection, just awful. Awful. So there's your football game. What's going to be interesting about Auburn, Chase, is there's a lot going on inside and outside that program. I don't know what they show up with on Saturday mentally.
Yeah, I kind of want to go there in a second. Before we do that, I'll tell you quickly that the podcast is brought to you also by Visit Oxford. Visit OxfordMS.com for the full calendar of events, more information on what's going on in Oxford, the Oxford Community Market. It's today from 3 to 6:30 at the Armory Pavilion. You've got the Mini Masters Series at 3:30 at the Powerhouse on October 18th. Pretty cool thing there. It is for toddlers, preschoolers, and different things with parents. They do something different every single time. This time it's printed up printmaking with all sorts of items. So they're just dropping workshops with parents and guardians and their kids. Plenty more to go, including Jim Weatherly is the guest at Thacker Mountain Radio on Thursday. Just finished his book with Jeff Robertson, A Midnight Train. So he is at Thacker Mountain on Thursday at 6 o'clock for that and much, much more. You got Wizard of Oz coming up on October 21st as well, the Oxford Art Crawl. And then a couple weeks away from the Great 38, the Chucky Mullins Foundation runs, benefiting disabled students and with money and scholarships and different things. That's next weekend, the off weekend, the 3 mile and the 8 mile on Saturday, and the half marathon on Sunday. So again, visit OxfordMS.com.
That's the weekend that Ole Miss plays host to Idol?
Plays host to Idol, yes. Ole Miss baseball plays Little Rock that day in another fall.
In Little Rock, right?
No, it's here.
Here?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ole Miss, the Idol game begins, as I broke that news yesterday.
9 a.m.?
Begins at 9 a.m. It begins with mimosas.
Couldn't get Idol here at 8:30?
They were willing to show up that early, but I told them to sleep in. I told Idol to sleep in. We'll see you at 9 a.m. We'll break out the Grand Marnier, and then it'll be nap time around 10:30. That's the plan for Idol. The key to beating Idol is to take a nap. But you know, join the Ole Miss Hoops teams for a night on the square on October the 19th. That's Friday at 6:15. It's Square Jam. Complimentary shuttles are available at the Ford Center from 4:30 to 7:30. Ole Miss Hoops looks forward to seeing you Friday night at Square Jam. Join the Ole Miss volleyball team as it takes on the Florida Gators Friday night at 7:30. As always, admission is free at the Gillum Center. After a thrilling victory over the Arkansas Razorbacks, the Ole Miss football team returns to the Vaught on October the 20th. That's Saturday as they take on the Auburn Tigers. Tickets can be purchased by visiting OleMissTix.com. That's OleMissTix.com. And the Ole Miss soccer team returns home on Sunday as they take on the Mississippi State Bulldogs at 4 p.m. For more information, visit OleMissSports.com. This podcast is also brought to you by the Weston Jackson. I'll have my mailbag out tomorrow, good Lord willing. Gather at Estelle Wine Bar and Bistro tonight. It's a part of the Weston Jackson. You can sip on a creative craft cocktail or enjoy their curated wine list. It's open for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and Sunday brunch. Chef Caden's mission is to connect guests with the community through local partnerships. So gather at Estelle tonight. And this podcast is brought to you by Pinnacle Trust. Pinnacle Trust is based in Madison, Mississippi, but it represents clients in 24 states, that's almost half, and has advisors in 3 states. Founded in 1997, Pinnacle Trust provides detailed, specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement planning for individuals and businesses, and much more. At Pinnacle Trust, investing is treated like a commodity, and your decisions are made using objective information and research, not emotions. Regardless of your level of wealth, Pinnacle Trust will sit down with you, listen to your goals, study your expenses, and put forth a comprehensive, detailed financial and retirement plan. Cookie-cutter financial planners put you in a box. At Pinnacle Trust, a box is built just for you. To learn more about Pinnacle Trust, go to pintrust.com. That's PINNtrust.com. Mention you heard about Pinnacle Trust on the podcast, and you'll get 10% off your first year's fee.
Podcast also brought to you by Oxford Wine and Spirits, located there on College Hill Road next to Lost Pizza. I was in yesterday, head in, get some new bourbons they've got around. I know they got Buffalo Trace, Eagle Rare, and more. They take 5% off the prices before you ever walk in the door. And then if you spend $150 and mention the podcast, you get another 10% off liquor, 5% off wine there with Oxford Wine and Spirits, all the Cathead products, and much more. So again, next to Lost Pizza on College Hill Road, that's Oxford Wine and Spirits. And get your flu shot today with the rain and everything going on outside. Good day to take advantage of that. Gin and Pharmacy on South Lamar. You can just walk in Monday through Friday. If you've got insurance, $0 copay for that. If you don't, it's just $25. So take care of yourself. Go in, get your flu shot now at G&M Pharmacy. Yeah, you know, the kids aren't immune to what's going on, being written, what's on social media. I mean, yesterday, multiple Auburn media outlets getting the comments of Alan Green, who was at a couple touchdown club meetings or Rotary Club things or something yesterday, talking about Gus Malzahn. Brandon Marcello of 24/7 Sports last night got a comment from Stephen Leith, the president of Auburn as well. So, I mean,
what did he say?
He gave a statement through a spokesperson, basically. Yeah, it was a little bit of clickbait on the Twitter. It made me click, and then I went, "Oh, come on!" But I mean, props to you at this point. But I almost kind of when I get fooled by that, I sort of just applaud.
For sure.
In 2018, I'm like, yeah. "All right, you got me." Sorry, I'm not going there. Not going there. Stop. Okay. You know, everything short of unacceptable, but hey, we're all in the grind together. Let's try to figure this out. Gus knows.
Oh,
blah,
the
blah,
chancellor's
blah,
not in the
blah,
damn blah, grind
blah.
Either.
They're in the grind.
No, stop it.
He's in the grind. They're all working toward the same goals. You know, that kind of thing.
I've had people ask me because they know I used to work over there. It's been a long time, but I lived in Alabama for a long time. People say, there's no way they'd fire him, right? Oh, there's a way. Yeah, but Neil, $30 million. Yeah. You see, if you've ever made an emotional decision in your life, you know that oftentimes emotional decisions are not the best decisions. They're fraught with emotion, and when you make them, they have a tendency to backfire. Is that fair? Chase? Fair?
Of course, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Last season, Auburn, so tired of being beaten down by Alabama over the last decade. Auburn beats Georgia handily at home. Everyone leaves Jordan Hare going, wasn't that great? God, that was great. Wasn't it great? War Eagle, damn it. War Eagle. War Eagle, War Eagle to you. And 2 weeks later, Alabama rolls in. Big, bad Alabama. Nick Saban, Jalen Hurts.
The whole machine.
The whole deal.
2-0 on the sidelines for some reason that I'm still not real sure of.
The million-dollar band. Everybody rolls in. And you know how it is when Alabama shows up. They basically show up with a big banner that goes, we're better than you.
The big truck under the thing that's got all sorts of stuff.
All, yeah, just completely unnecessary. Shows up. And they roll into Jordan Hare, and Auburn kicked their ass.
Body get a body get a body get a bye.
So you walk out of that stadium that day going, damn, this is good. Life is good, isn't it?
Church going to be great in the morning.
Oh, I can't wait to go to church. What's the temperature Monday? 26. I'm going golfing anyway. I'm going to the bar, but, Dad, you don't drink. I'm drinking Monday. So all of a sudden, Arkansas wants to hire your coach. We can't have that.
Just beat Georgia and Alabama.
He just beat out of Alabama. We're going to the SEC championship game. Alabama is not winning the SEC this year because, by God, we kicked their ass. Give Gus whatever the hell he wants. And so they did. Gus, I'll tell you what, I like about $50 million over 7 years. And most of it guaranteed. And to make you be committed to me, if you fire me, you owe me $15 million within 30 days. Whatever. You just beat Alabama. How bad could it get? Take it. Done. You want us to sign it in blood? I tell you what, we'll cut our own kidney, pull out some blood from there and sign it.
Then you lose to Georgia. Then you lose to UCF.
And people go, ooh.
But okay.
They got
but
that.
Okay.
You know that feeling when you buy a car that you really couldn't afford, and about a week later, a
little sticker remorse.
First time that the kid spills some juice in the car, you're like, oh man, I liked my old car. But you're stuck with the car. It's Auburn. And now it's gotten worse. They lost to Mississippi State, blew a game against LSU, lost to Mississippi State. Got beat by a Tennessee team that had lost 11 straight SEC games.
Got a coin flip against Ole Miss on the road and then still got to play Georgia and Alabama.
So,
and A&M.
When people say to me, is there any way? Yes. Would you like for me to show you the roadmap? Lose to Ole Miss. Go lose to Ole Miss Saturday.
4-4.
Everybody, and I know a lot of Ole Miss fans obviously listening to this podcast. The following is not an insult. I'm giving you the Auburn perspective. So relax. The reaction at 2:30 on Saturday afternoon, if Ole Miss scores 1 point or more than Auburn scores, I don't care how it happens, what it looks like. If it's 35 to 34, if it's 10 to 9, or anything in between. I can't imagine, but yes, 3 to 2. The reaction's going to be, so you're telling me that we lost in Oxford to a probation team.
We got swept by the Mississippi schools.
We got beat by Mississippi schools with first-year coaches, one of them on probation, and in their eyes, with scholarship losses. Now, I know. Chill. Now, you lose that game, you're 4-4.
You lost to a Tennessee team that had lost their last game against every SEC opponent.
Nothing against Tennessee and nothing against Ole Miss, but I think everyone would agree with the following. This season, Texas A&M, Georgia, and Alabama are all better than Ole Miss and Tennessee. Is that fair?
Yeah.
If you lose to Ole Miss on Saturday, you are staring 5-7 with a win over Liberty square in the face. You are looking at it square in the face. And yes, they'll fire him at 5-7.
He's fired at 5-7.
Yes.
Yes.
And at 6-6, while Alabama goes to the Orange or the Sugar or the wherever the hell to play the Patriots, and you're in the Birmingham Bowl facing Pitt again, I don't know that's survivable. I don't know that you can sell tickets based on that. Auburn faces the exact same challenges from a ticket standpoint that Ross Bjork and every other AD in the country face. How do you get people to come to your games? It's what stuck out to me on Saturday watching the Auburn-Tennessee game on television. There were a lot of empty seats. And it blew well, 11 a.m. Well, guess what? 11 a.m. games are now part of the SEC culture. It's not going away. You're going to have more 11 a.m. games. It's not going away. If you're Auburn, yeah. Is there a scenario? If you told me today the final score of the Ole Miss game, I could tell you whether Gus Malzahn's the coach at Auburn next year.
It's an interesting thing financially, too, because as dumb as all that stuff is, we talked about this earlier, Auburn doesn't make big-name coaching hires for the most part. I mean, Tuberville is probably their biggest name hire in the last how many ever years. They just don't.
Who would they go hire, you're asking?
Yeah, well, I mean, not even that. I mean, they're not going to hire Neil Brown after you pay somebody $9 million, are they?
I wouldn't think. Will Muschamp?
Dud. That fan base, dud.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Yeah, I know. I mean, here's the part of the statement from Leith that, if you're my Gus, doesn't really give you warm and fuzzies considering what is typically very sterile for a spokesman release in a question like this.
Yeah.
Dr. Leith fully agrees that with Allen Green, that no one is satisfied with where we are at this point of the season, and we likewise must do what we can to ensure Auburn coaches and student athletes are in the best possible position to succeed. That is not a vote of confidence.
No.
That's not even a little bit of a vote of confidence.
No, that's a...
Gus.
Kind of an indictment.
I'm not going to go win a game. I'm just saying. Well, because like Allen Green sitting over here going, hey, I didn't give him that stupid contract.
Sure.
Jay Jacobs, or whoever gave him that stupid contract. I didn't. That was dumb. What are you guys doing?
Allow me also to reiterate the following.
Yeah.
If you ever become a football coach and you need an agent.
You got one in mind?
Hire Jimmy Sexton.
From the beginning, just hire him.
Just go hire Jimmy Sexton.
It took Mullen a decade to figure that out.
And then look how it's worked out for Dan. Yeah. Dan's the happiest person I've ever seen.
He's always smiling.
He used to never smile. And now he's
smiling when he was cussing Derek Mason on Saturday.
And now he's happy. He's even almost nice,
almost
to
nice.
Some of the media.
Partially pleasant.
He's cracked a joke. He's danced in the locker room.
Yes.
Dan's happy.
Not wearing his Yeezys anymore, is he?
No. Not much. Jimmy got him out of Starkville to Gainesville, making 6.1 a year. It's all good.
Life's all right.
Life's good. He goes home to Megan. They crack grocery store jokes. Open a bottle of wine. It's all good.
I think Auburn's less than 5,000 in the crowd. Players, locker room's a disaster.
from a perception standpoint, and again, I'm hesitant to do this because some Ole Miss fans are going to think I'm criticizing Ole Miss, and I'm not. I'm giving you the Auburn perspective, okay? Before the season, when Auburn went down the list and did WL, WL, WW, you know what I'm talking about? They all looked at Tennessee and Ole Miss and went W, W. Went right past them. W.
Same thing Ole Miss did to Arkansas and Vanderbilt.
Absolutely. W. And now the Tennessee game is a big L. It's a giant flashing L. And if Ole Miss is an L,
peace.
Peace out.
Yeah. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Anyway, all right. Plenty of stuff at rebelgrove.com. Again, you can see all the snap count stuff for yourself. A lot of recruiting as well. Neil will have a mailbag up in the morning prior to this here podcast. And again, Funkies Thursday, Jay Tate in attendance. We're not going to heckle him. We're just going to have a nice, fun conversation of whatever it is we're going to talk about. God help us all. So we will be back tomorrow, and we'll talk to you then.